Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. King of kings and Lord of lords. Glory to God. I'm going to continue, praise the Lord, in our teachings in Ephesians. No matter what we go through, friends, God is faithful, and we're going to learn by the time he's finished in our lives, that means more than just words. Dear friends, we're going to go through all kinds of trials. We're going to be tempted in all kinds of areas. And the devil is going to get really vocal at those times. But we're going to find, praise God, that our God is sovereign. He loves us. He will work in any and every way he can and knows to bring about redemption. And everything we go through is directly related to the calling in which he's called us. Yeah. Every single trial, every wilderness experience, everything you and I go through is directly related to his redemptive purpose for your life. And one day we're going to get this so deep in our hearts, we'll understand that to be the basis of our victory. In whatever we go through, the devil is a liar, God is faithful. And we're going to just experience his love in a way through those trials, through those deep experiences, as we're going to see as we open up the word. Dear friends, we are going to rejoice in, we're going to enjoy this victory that God has given us, no matter what the circumstances look like, no matter what we feel like, no matter what the devil blows it up out of all proportion, the lies he tells. We are a people of victory. And we're going to see that the lies that we believe from the enemy, the lies that we believe from the enemy, have started those strongholds in our hearts and minds. God's going to pull them all down, going to rip them all down. Because he's going to have a people that walk completely by faith and that has totally yielded to the Holy Spirit. He is removing all those things in our hearts, our minds, our lives, that prevent us from being completely sensitive to and totally yielding to the Holy Spirit. For as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. And that's what he's raising up. Those who will be completely emptied of self and walk in that sonship faith. Praise God. Totally yielded to the Holy Spirit. A supernatural people. A people who walk totally. Not only, well, praise God, by faith, faith in the word, but hearing the voice, hearing the still small voice, not hearing voices, but yielding to the moving, every move, every prompting of the Holy Spirit. Yes. But for that, we have to be set free, we have to be delivered. And this entire walk, this walk of apostolic faith, is a walk of deliverance. We are being set free each day, each trial, each situation. God is setting us free. It's a ministry of deliverance, a glorious ministry of deliverance in those that God sets free, that anointing, that presence of Almighty God, the greater works, the fullness of Christ, a ministry of deliverance. We're maybe thinking, where are the gifts? There are dire needs. Where are those gifts? Where are those miracles? Where is it all? Okay, God is preparing. God is working. Some are at this present time going through a situation where all you've got, all you have, all we have got is our faith. The trials, the circumstances, total, seemingly a total contradiction. Our life, you may think, if you kind of wake up and you look at it and you think, well, this is just a pile of rubble at my feet. Where's it all gone? Where is this blessedness? Where is this anointing? Where is this power and presence of Almighty God? Where is it all? You may think that your life is a total failure, morally, spiritually, personally, in every way, whatever the trial is. But dear friends, if you're going through that this evening, if you're willing to receive it, God has great news for you tonight, praise God. You are being prepared for greater blessing. You are being prepared. This is the death working that the resurrection may work. You are being prepared. God is got his hand on you for a specific redemptive purpose. And you are going to learn very soon, if you're not already learning it, that God's mercy is far greater than anything that you can ever experience. It's not that God has not allowed his love to betray him into compromising his holiness, but his mercy has been set on you, that whatever you experience, wherever you fail, whatever your sin, whatever the problem, whatever the devil is doing with you at the moment, God's grace, God's power, God's mercy is infinitely greater than that. Because no matter what the devil does, he is a creature, a being, a spirit being. We're creatures with flesh. But God is spirit. God is uncreated, eternal, infinite. Your heavenly Father. So as he is, so is his love. So is his grace and mercy over those he calls. He loves his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, supremely. He loves us in him. He loved us in him before he made the world. He called us in him to be partakers of that love. Think of that a moment. Joint heir with Christ. Oh good, I'm rich. How are we rich? How about being a joint heir of the Lord Jesus Christ, of the Father's love? Who thinks of that? Greedy, covetous, silly little creatures, aren't we? That God is just breaking that pea-sized, funny little heart. That goldfish swimming in the Pacific. I know, okay, fresh water, salt water, but stay with me on this. You know, in terms of the perspective of it, God is expanding. He's opening up our vision, expanding our hearts to receive nothing less than the fullness of his love. Just as God, pure, in total purity, completeness, loves his Son, so that love is now, we are joint heirs of that love. And we're being taught to think heavenly. We're being taught in our prayer life, and we're going to look at, as the apostle prayed, he laboured and travailed in prayer till Christ was formed in the bodies that he was administering, especially Galatians. Our prayers are going to be taught to bring heaven on earth. What do we think it means, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? Our prayer is bringing heaven to earth. Think on that a minute. We are bringing the authority, the power, the glory of heaven to earth. That's where the kingdom is going to be for 1,000 years. Jesus is going to, on earth, visibly, literally reign for 1,000 years from Israel, from Jerusalem. We're going to rule and reign with him. And that process, there is a process that begins now, simply by doing his will. We heard it in prophecy this evening. It's all about yielding, because God is delivering. He's setting us free. And the devil loves to condemn. You disobeyed, you missed it there. Yeah, we did okay. We're not taking sin lightly. We're not taking those times where we allow flesh to rule. We're not taking that. We're not being flippant about that. But God is still in control. If our hearts are right with him, if our heart is loyal to him, if we've made a sincere commitment, God is above that. The new birth is greater than that. God is still in control, and he will work. He will bring us through that wilderness experience. He will bring us from his permissive into his perfect will. That's what our deliverance, that's why he's working with us. He's revealing, he's showing the cross. Dear friends, do not flee. Do not run in terror. Do not close your heart to the things God is working, saying and doing. Often people that have been hurt, people that have been abused in some way, whatever the trial, whatever the pain, whatever the test, one of the things is often like a closing up of the heart. We put up barriers, a callous, you know, that we become hard-hearted, so nobody's going to ever hurt me again. And here the Lord comes, God of love, the one person in the universe we can open up to and talk to and trust and experience his love and yet he's presenting the cross to us. He's presenting pain, he's presenting that which will put us to death. And so God has to reveal it. Too many Christians run in terror from the cross. But those who will embrace that, those who will allow God to inflict a deeper wound in order to deliver us from the wound from which we're suffering, those who embrace that cross, the devil will flee from them. It's the devil who should be fleeing in terror, not Christians. And God is working it. God is working that glorious redemption. We're not on our own. Yes, faith, man must believe, man pray, man must repent. But who gives us the grace for that? Who puts that in our heart? Who gives us the faith for it? God has got it completely under control, and that's what it means. God will not require of us anything he doesn't give. If God requires it, he'll give it.
Yes.
Praise God. It's not that we've got nothing to do. Faith isn't easy. Trials aren't easy. The cross isn't, you know, a walk in the park. So there's no room for complacency or apathy. It's not like God meets our responsibilities for us, but he gives us the grace to meet those responsibilities. This is about total dependence on God so that he gets all the glory. Look, this is a people that I have redeemed. His reputation as Lord and Saviour depends on the quality of his workmanship in our lives. Those vessels that he presents as vessels of honour will give him glory. This is what the Saviour does. This is, behold the glory of the Saviour.
Yeah.
Glory to God, and it's you and I, friends, that are going to be vessels of that glory.
Mm.
Praise God. Mm. Ephesians chapter 3, we're looking 14 to 21. We're looking at the fullness of Christ, aren't we? Our great need, I believe we're calling this, our greatest need. Part 2. No subtitles in this. We're just going to be looking at our greatest need. For this reason, Ephesians 3 verses 14 to 21. For this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. See, it's only the outer man that's being crucified. It's us that's being made weak in the sense of the will, the affections, the heart being taught to yield to the Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
But his strength imparted to us, friends. How strong are we in the Spirit? How strong is God? It's the Holy Spirit's strength imparted to us. The inner man. God isn't going to resurrect Adam in that sense. Adam's put to death because of sin. We're speaking this of the old man, right? So we're going to see Adam in glory, don't worry. So the old man crucified, but it's the new man in Christ raised up. He's not going to resurrect our old sins and our old nature. That's dead, that's buried. That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. This work of faith that we're going to see later on, God is purging unbelief from our hearts. It can often come as a great offence to people who have been hearing faith for 30 years that there's still unbelief in their heart. They still have fear. They still have doubt. What, after all these years, after all these trials? Yes, that's why God is still perfecting us. We're still in this situation because God is purifying our faith. And once that faith is complete, then we're going to experience all that Christ is. Think on that a minute. As he is, so is our faith. What he is by nature, we are by inheritance. Glory to the living God. This is what it is to be a joint heir with Christ. What he is by nature, we are by redemption. And it's all on the basis of believing God, trusting in the living God. Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Knowing something that can only be revealed is what that means. We can only know it by experience, by revelation, by redemption. We can't know it intellectually, or at least if we know of it intellectually, it doesn't work the same redemption that experiencing it by the Spirit works. Now, to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, look at the heart of our God, exceeding abundant, not just enough, not just the bare minimum, but exceedingly abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's his power working in us. To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus, to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Praise God, everlasting and eternal, to all generations. His glory. Oh, praise God. This is a work of deliverance, dear friends. God, in calling us as his people, his covenant people, he's teaching us warfare. You'll remember from your teachings, we can turn there, in Joshua chapter 1. These are all familiar scriptures. But it's a deliverance, a glorious salvation. And in Joshua chapter 1, we'll start with verse 1, but it says, after Joshua chapter 1, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, so God spoke to Joshua like he spoke to Moses. He said, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. And then he gives a reference, wilderness, this Lebanon, as far as the great river. So the bounds of the land have been set here. This is their territory. He specifies the territory. The river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. What I want to get at, for a moment in this, Moses my servant is dead, now therefore arise. The law has done its work. The law has put us to death. Now you, salvation, this is what Yeshua means, Joshua, salvation, deliverance, now arise. Possess your inheritance. God is raising up a people who will rise up in that faith, in that resurrection life and power, that warfare. Yes, God has been putting us to death. Yes, the law has done its work in our members because of sin. That is dying. But we're now to arise and possess that land. Possess that salvation. Now, he's saying, salvation, deliverance, arise. Own what I have given you. Take hold of what I have given you. When Haggai the prophet in the exilic, post-exilic times, he lovingly rebuked the people. You've gone back to your houses, your own houses. You've got discouraged because of a lack of materials. Put the kingdom first. Go back to building the house of God, and you'll see the provision. Put your spiritual responsibilities first. You'll then see God's provision. And what happened as a result of their obedience and repentance? The Lord stirred up their spirits. He stirred up the spirit of the governor. He stirred up the spirit of the priest. He stirred up the spirit of the people. We all want the gifts. We all want the power. We all want this stirring up. But there's a context, isn't there? When we've committed, consecrated our lives to the kingdom first, to seeking God's kingdom. When that is in place, then the Spirit, we're going to find the gifts stirred up, and it's the Lord going to be doing it. We're not going to be working it up. Some religious, you know, screaming and praying. Yeah, there is praying and fasting and all-night prayer, but God's going to be doing it. It's going to be led by the Spirit. I remember a dear elderly sister, she's now gone to be with the Lord, but she had a great deliverance ministry. She had a great healing and deliverance ministry. And you wouldn't think, you know, oh, God's power, when you met the person, you wouldn't immediately think of it. But she used to be part of a church, and this is recently, fairly recently, prayed all night regularly. She would, when somebody would ring her up, I need deliverance, okay, well, get into prayer. She would get into prayer with fasting 2 or 3 days, binding and loosing. Never failed. She was known as the demon basher of North Warnborough. She had a name. She never failed, spot on every time, because of that. But that was the way the Spirit was using her. These things were in place because that's what the Spirit was building. Old Elijah there on Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal cutting themselves and bleeding all over the place and jumping onto the altar. What was going on there? Prophets of Baal. And Elijah was just standing there, calm, while he was mocking. But look at the difference. When Elijah came, he repaired the altar. He put the sacrifice in place, in order. Obviously, he poured, as we know this account there, he got all the water to be poured. And he prayed a simple prayer. There was no leaping or jumping about. I've done this thing as your servant in obedience to your word. Now, therefore, if you know you're the God, answer by fire. Show these people that you are the God that's in Israel. You see the difference. The prophets of Baal tried to manipulate their deity because that's how he treats them. He manipulates their feelings. He works them up into a frenzy. That's what that religion's all about. Feeling based. Frenzied activity. But our God doesn't do that. Our God, his power is in and through our obedience. A simple spoken word of faith, that gift of faith especially, or the confession of faith, that spoken word, and God will reveal that he's the one true living God, that he's the God in heaven, the God of Israel, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, your God and my God. He's only too pleased to reveal that and deal with the powers of darkness. So whatever conditions there are to meet, yield to the Spirit, friends, and he will work that, and we'll find in the midst of that warfare a beautiful, glorious, redemptive rest. Faith is a rest. But that rest, if you look at the context of it, that rest comes after the victory. Joshua, we're told, had Joshua given them rest, they would not have spoken of another day. So first the fight, first the warfare, then the rest. Then that glorious rest of faith. Otherwise it's complacency, it's apathy. But we can rest during that warfare. The key is yielding to the Spirit, making ourselves available. Because here's the glory of this, that yes, God is dealing with idolatry, he's dealing with sin from within the heart, let's face it. But by dwelling within us, we ought to be experiencing something within us militating against that sin. God is working in us to hate that as much as he hates it. When we hate that sin as much as he hates it, when he within us who is militating against that sin, not allowing us to indulge or to enjoy it, something's wrong. But when we're yielding to that, we will also experience something glorious, that once we've received it, once we've acknowledged that, and we begin to hate it as much as he hates it, even if we fail, we will experience his mercy, because he knows what we're going through. He is allowing that to continue to teach us warfare. He knows our frame. He knows our weakness. He knows what we're coming from. And to us, they're giants. To him, they're nothing. God hasn't got any giants he's facing. We're the ones facing the giants. And so he knows what we're going through. Yes. He knows because he was tempted in all points, like as we were. Whatever temptation you're going through, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus, pure, holy, sinless flesh, went through that. You're not going through a single thing that he didn't go through, except that he was without sin. It didn't touch him spiritually. He knows. And his mercy, his compassion, his grace will see us through to the end. We will endure to the end. We will come through that. And that which was a great problem, impossible to overcome, in short time, dear friends, one of these days, we'll just be laughing at that. What was the problem? What was the problem? Now, we won't notice it because it's been working, like God has been working that grace within us. But we'll go into a place, and that countenance, that anointing on us, and those we minister to, they will be experiencing the fullness of God. Demons will come crying out of them, fleeing from the presence of Almighty God. Let God arise, his enemies be scattered. That's the deliverance ministry. That is the glory that God is working in and through us. As we overcome, as we stay with this, as we stay with it, friends, fail, fall, get up again, and get knocked down again, and get up and knocked down. But eventually, and we're not always aware of this situation, God is strengthening. God is working, and one day the devil's going to get a surprise. He's going to go again because the Lord gives him permission, and he's going, oh yeah, goody, let's go for another feast, let's make fun of this victim, let's have another feast. And boy, is he going to get a surprise, because one day we're going to stand, he's going to flee. I don't know how it works, I honestly don't know. We'll submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from us as if in terror. The fullness of his promises, the fulfillment of every redemptive promise, the purpose for which he has manifest to destroy the works of the devil, will come to pass in its fullest and truest sense in our life, simply by enduring, no matter what we're seeing. Praise God, and it's that that separates. If you turn to Habakkuk chapter 3, again, all familiar scriptures. Praise the Lord. God is so faithful. Chapter 3 of Habakkuk. We'll start with verse 17. Though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines. Now, we're called to fruitfulness. Okay, he's talking to Israel at this point, but there's a type here as well, as we know. Israel agricultural economy. This is a serious failure. And we're called to fruitfulness. We need to see signs of life. But look at this. Look at this hopeless situation. Though the labour of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there's no herd, and there be no herd in the stalls. Serious situation. Everything's gone wrong. There's nothing in our lives to feed us. Nothing in our lives that we can look at and say, this is God, this is the life of God. Now, don't get me wrong, keep it in perspective. We've all got blessed testimonies, glorious testimonies, but we can go through a trial where the thing just seems totally like that tree in winter. Dead. It appears dead. It can't provide food or shelter. All apparent signs of life have gone. Looks dead. But underground, below ground, those roots are going deeper. Going much, much deeper. Looking for food, looking for nutrients, looking for moisture. Feeding that tree, keeping the tree alive from the inside. But it can't be seen to the human eye, to the naked eye. And what is this great man of faith? What is his response to this seeming disaster? Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. Isn't it Psalm 73, verses 24 and 25? Whom have I in heaven but thee? There is none on earth that I desire besides thee. My flesh and my heart fails, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. The Lord God is my strength, and he's teaching us what that means. We've confessed and rejoiced in the revelation for years. Oh, praise the Lord, just like Paul. Weakness in flesh, but strength is made perfect. Oh, how wonderful. So we praise God until he says, okay, I'm glad you're rejoicing. Now I'm going to show you what it means. Here are some trials that are going to teach you what that means. Praise God. What a privilege. We've got nothing but our faith at times. Nothing but our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is my strength. He's doing that, friends, because he's turning our heart and our confidence and our love, let's face it, of this world totally, solely onto him. Because this is the fullness of Christ, that full control, where he is completely in control of our lives. We yield to the Spirit, and at that point, that immediate, instant obedience, unquestioning, unhesitating, yielding to the Spirit, Jesus then works the work that he wants at that time. Led by the Spirit. Praise God. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet, and he will make me walk. He will make me walk on my high hills. Death and resurrection. We belong in another realm. Our heart, our eyes, our affection, our thinking is of another realm. The trials we go through, the devil will accuse those who don't understand, even professing Christians who don't understand will accuse, they'll say like they did of Jesus, let's turn that in Isaiah 53, you're under God's judgment. You're going through what you're going through, like they did with Job. Come on, admit it. What's the sin? Where's your sin? You're under judgment. Why are you so stubborn? Why don't you admit it? Now, praise God, a lot of what we're going through is because of that. Yeah. But the point is, at the moment, God exposes that. Sooner or later, he'll expose it, he'll deal with it. But that's not the whole story. In Isaiah 53 and verse 4, it says, surely he's borne our sicknesses, carried our pains, yet we esteemed him stricken. We esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement for our peace was on him, by his stripes we are healed. He was suffering in our place. But he was accused, one of the trials he had to go through as he hung there, was that they accused him of being an imposter and suffering God's judgment.
That's right.
They completely misunderstood the purpose. Even his disciples turned and ran. And we're going to go through the same thing. They're going to completely misinterpret our trials and think, look, they're imposters. God's judging them at last. These thorns in my flesh that keep pronouncing the word of the Lord against me. Hallelujah. God's getting rid of them. God's punishing them. God's teaching them a lesson. That's part of our trial, friends. That's going to be part of the things that we've got to rejoice in and praise God. Lord is truly working that depth of faith and consecration, because there's a glorious redemptive purpose at the end of it. Wonderful salvation, this, isn't it? Going back to Joshua 1. Praise God. The key to Joshua's success, the key to his spiritual strength, the key to his victory. Let's read it, praise God. So verse 5. Joshua chapter 1, start with verse 5. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. And we in the New Testament have exactly the same promise. God dwells within us. God spoke to Moses face to face. God promised the same thing for Joshua. As I was with Moses, so shall I will be with you. And he's also said to us, has he not, I will not leave you nor forsake you. In the same way that he was with those saints of old, he is with us. Within and around. The only reason we're going through trials is because God has allowed it. Not because Satan is all of that. It's because our God has allowed it. In his wisdom, he's allowed what his strength could prevent. It's the best means possible to work our redemption. That's what wisdom means. He has chosen the best possible means to accomplish an end. God's wisdom is redemptive. It's the best possible means available to accomplish redemption in our lives. We must, through much trial and tribulation, enter the kingdom of heaven, enter the kingdom of God. But that doesn't mean, well, it's the exact opposite. He's with us all the more in what we go through. Be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. God is raising up the Joshuas, the ministry, to get victories in their own life and to lead God's people into their inheritance. This is a type of the Holy Spirit working through fivefold ministry to bring the people into what belongs to them, the fullness of their redemption and salvation. Only be strong, very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. There's that obedience. And praise God, is he not showing us, revealing, teaching us, working that word in our heart, that our obedience to his word comes from the Spirit writing that on our heart. It comes out of a heart of love, a heart that wants to obey, a heart that the Spirit has broken and removed the stones and worked on and not given up on and made right in God's presence through the blood of Jesus. God's doing all that, friends, in order to prosper us wherever we go, spiritually as well. Our ministry is to glorify him. Our ministry is to be a success. It's to glorify souls, to be saved, bodies healed, souls to be wonderfully born again, brought into the kingdom, churches to be established, righteousness to be established on the earth through these people, the sheep that God will lead you and I to. He's glorified in our prosperity, and he's the one working in us to meet the conditions whereby he can prosper us without violating the principles of his holiness. He longs to do that. He's looking throughout, his eyes are to and fro throughout the earth. Where is a saint? Where is a believer that I can bless fully without violating the principles of my holiness? Oh, there he is. That one there that everyone else has rejected. That scrawny looking mongrel. But he believes in the blood of Jesus. His heart is right with me. Everybody else has dismissed him because of how he looks. But I know the heart. Isn't that our God? Isn't that what he's doing? Praise the living God. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. See, this is meditation. It's like chewing the cud. It's muttering. It's speaking, murmuring the word. But you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. Most of our strength is required is the courage to obey God. In this world that we face, every act of righteousness, every act of obedience goes totally contrary to the way of the world. We're going to need God's strength to keep his word. Praise God. He will give us that strength if we have the heart for it. For then you will make your way prosperous. Then you will have good success. Prosperous and good success by obedience. And obedience comes from that heart of love, from the word in our heart that we love. Not in our own strength. It begins, this glorious redemption begins when we fall on our knees and say, I can't do it in my own strength. I haven't got the will for this. My heart is too small. I will run the way of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Praise God. Have I not commanded you? Be strong. Good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Because why? Because the circumstances are brilliant? No. Because the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. Through those deep valleys, through that furnace, through the wilderness, through those trials, the Lord your God is with you. And for that reason and that reason alone, we can be strong, we can be courageous. We do not need to be afraid. Wonderful, isn't it? And who are we? Have we done anything to deserve it? Are we anything special? If you've been chosen tonight, if you're sitting here listening to this, rejoicing in this, God has called you, dear friends, the weak, the base, the despised, the foolish. But none of that matters now, because we are strong in Him. He now is our strength. He is our sanctification. He's our wisdom. He's our redemption. He is our holiness. So whatever we're not experiencing yet, stay with it, because God will work it. God will provide. We will experience it eventually. Praise God. And so now as we begin to close in this, this is about the fullness of Christ. The Apostle Paul, in Galatians chapter 4. Well, friends, this isn't necessarily something that we can bring before a prayer meeting and say, oh, can we pray for this? This is divinely given. The Spirit places this within the heart. And so this, it may be a time where, you know, in a prayer meeting, God reveals that this is what He wants. But this goes much deeper. What I'm saying, this goes much deeper than this. This is something that the Spirit works through the intercession in the whole body of Christ, not just apostles and prophets, but this is going to affect all of us. Galatians 4 and verse 19, Galatians chapter 4 verse 19, Paul says, my little children, for whom I labour in birth again until Christ is formed in you. He was correcting some things that have gone wrong in this church, legalism. They've begun in the Spirit and they are foolish now. They're trying to perfect themselves through works of the flesh, through going under the law, circumcision and that. So Paul had to deal with that really quickly. And he was labouring in vain that Christ would be formed in these people. And this is what God is restoring today, that we would grow up into Christ. But it doesn't just happen just by wishing it. It doesn't happen just by thinking this is how it ought to be. Praise God. Christ is being formed in us, and this is being birthed through by the Spirit in prayer. It's a burden on our hearts that we need to be birthing this through. Our deliverance, our obedience, the work of heart, all that God is working within us comes through this prayer. It's being birthed through. Praise God. So, Ezekiel 36, with that in mind. It is God working it, but there's some things He requires of us. This is good news, friends. He's speaking to the nation of Israel, but He's also speaking to us as well. Ezekiel chapter 36, and we'll start with verse 24. For I will take you, Ezekiel 36, starting with verse 24, for I will take you from among the nations. There's that separation. First work of the cross is separation. Taking us away from the world unto Himself, gather you out of all countries and bring you into your own land. I'm not spiritualizing this. There is a spiritual aspect to this, but that is a promise of the ultimate restoration of Israel that we are going to see in the end time, in preparation for the kingdom. Israel is God's calendar. And the things that happen to Israel, there's a parallel in what happens to the church. And people want their revivals and all of that. But let's keep our eyes on God's calendar, Israel. There is soon going to be a mighty influx of souls, of gifts, healings, miracles, the greater works. But that is in connection, Romans 9 through to 11, of the restoration of Israel in this end time. It works together. There's a right time for this, but that doesn't mean to give up. Oh, well, it's God's time. In that time, we can be preparing those vessels of, you know, filling those vessels with extra oil, waiting on God, praying a prayer life, getting to know the ways of the Lord, getting his word within our hearts. And yes, making ourselves available for the gifts. When we come to our meetings, see, it's not a complete contradiction. Are we praying in the Spirit just before? Praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit, Lord, use me. I'm available. I'm available. Anoint me with a particular gift in the meetings. It's because we're not really believing it anymore. We've gone to sleep on the Lord. Oh, well, the Father's time in Israel, and the preacher said it's, we've got to wait for Israel, and it won't happen. We've never said it won't happen until. There's the fullness, but today. It's all right for the future, but what about today? What about the needs today? What about the horrendous needs that face us today? The gifts are a manifestation of God's victory in warfare.
Amen.
They're a channel of manifestation of God's redemption. Disease is part of Satan's kingdom. Poverty, the gift of faith, a word of faith, will remove poverty. It's part of provision. How do you think God did it when he made the worlds? He spoke. Friends, anything that is afflicting us is met by the fruit or the gifts of the Holy Spirit. To every sin, to every temptation to sin, there is an opposite fruit available just by believing, just by yielding to the Spirit, it's available to take its place.
Yes.
So with the gifts. Gifts are God's redemptive provision, friends. They're part of our warfare. And by yielding to the Spirit, we will know the time. Okay, so he doesn't use us Sunday morning, but he may next week. Whatever we're facing, we can believe that God will bring us to a place of faith to receive that. But it's that attitude, isn't it? It's that heart. I am available today to be used. Now, don't let that fear, well, what if I miss it? What if I get it wrong? We're learning. God is teaching us. God is training us. And as long as we're genuinely, we're sincerely available in the heart, the Holy Spirit will work. And in the right time, he will use us. Glorious ministry. Each one of you has a glorious ministry that the body of Christ cannot survive if you don't use it. It's the body. Every cell in the body depends on the one next to it. And the life that is in the body is because of the life that comes through you. The life that is in you is because of the life that's in the body of Christ. We're interdependent, we're independent but interdependent. Gloriously captive to the head, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we do his will by yielding to the Holy Spirit. That's the whole key to this. All of that which we've been speaking about for the last 30 years is yielding to the Holy Spirit. If we can learn that, we've learnt it. We've learnt it all. So back to our verse. See, it's not a contradiction to say make yourselves available to be used in the gifts for each meeting, but understand there is a time and a context as well within this. So as God is restoring the national Israel to the Lord and to the land, or to the land and then to the Lord, so he's restoring and working with us. Look what he's saying. I will bring you into own land, then I will sprinkle clean water on you. The word, he's going to wash and cleanse. It's what he's doing now. Jesus said, you are clean through the word which I've spoken to you. And you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. Proverbs 16 and verse 6 says, by mercy and truth, in the King James, by mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. In the New King James, by mercy and truth, atonement is found. Praise God, mercy and truth. When I got saved, it was through a word of knowledge. I was seeking God. For some reason, I don't know how. John 15, abiding in the vine. What does it mean to abide in the vine? What does that mean, abiding in the vine? How do I know Jesus is the vine, but how do I do it? 3-4 weeks. Struggling with smoking, couldn't start the day unless I woke up, rolled myself a cigarette for breakfast, 20, 30 a day, half an ounce of tobacco, every day, proper addicted. Wanted to give up though, struggled for weeks, wanted to give up. Just at the point as I was giving up the struggle, I went to a friend's house, I rang them up about a totally unrelated matter. They told me they'd become Christians. So many questions, but I couldn't get out of my mind, what does abiding in the vine mean? Went to their place. What was the first thing out of her mouth? Open the book, John 15, abiding in the vine. You've never seen me really cry. You've never seen me broken or touched by God's mercy. But that day I knew God was talking to me. When she got to the bit about, and if they don't, they're cast forth as a branch and they're burned, I knew what that meant. Every demon in me knew what that meant. I gave my heart to the Lord. And then the next day, praise God, the person, he was let's say he was an apostle. Jesus met with him and he was recounting that. Got a word of knowledge. A specific sin that I've committed. Just absolute detail. But with that truth, with the knowledge, I knew God knew. There was no hiding. But that there was an anointing on that, but I knew that God wanted to forgive me. With the complete inability to hide, and yet a total manifestation of God's mercy that he would cover that. Yes, then you saw a man break and cry and realize that God was real and that he saved sinners, of whom I was chief. Praise God. The mercy of our God. I know he will cleanse. I know he will provide. I know through that mercy and truth. The mercy is the provision of blood. The truth is the word. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And God will do that. God is doing it. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean. I will cleanse you from all your filthiness and from all your idols. And that was Israel's problem, from their calling, was their idolatry, their Baalism, their idolatry, their abomination. Child sacrifice to Moloch, the complete lot of all the things that the nations around them did, the reason why God vomited them out of the land, they went and committed. And here we have God in his mercy saying, I'll cleanse you from all of that. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. We now have a new love, a new life, a new heart, the things we now love. A new life, a new heart, and a new spirit. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh, give you a heart of flesh. Unbelief. I will remove that hard-heartedness. I will remove that blasphemy. I will remove that unbelief. I will remove that thing in you that still hates me, that still gets angry with me because you can't understand trials yet. The thing that you react against me and blame me for doing something wrong simply because I'm allowing you to suffer. God loved Jesus supremely. And look what he let him go through to save us. It's sin. Don't blame God. It's sin. It's sin that's done it. But we still have to have the heart enlarged to understand that. And God will do it. God will renew our minds, our thinking. He will give us that heart of flesh so that we yield to the Holy Spirit. Praise God and walk in the Spirit and be his sons. I will put my spirit within you, and here it is, cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. There's that obedience. There is that obedience. Then you shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers. You shall be my people. I will be your God. I will deliver you from all your uncleannesses, and I will call for the grain, multiply it, bring no famine upon you. And there we then go into the promise there of great prosperity and fruitfulness. Because of the obedience, that God has wrought. This is a new covenant promise, friends. A new covenant. God will raise up to himself a people. He will be our God. We will be his people because of the work of redemption he's done within us. Exodus 23 in closing. Exodus 23. This is such a beautiful, a glorious redemption that we've been given. If we could give up the struggle and striving in the flesh and yield to the Spirit, allow God to work that. Yes, there is a living, active faith within us, but that faith is a fruit of the Spirit. We do what faith does because the Holy Spirit has empowered us to do it. We yield. There is a fight going on within us against sin, but our only hope of victory is yielding to the Spirit. Let him fight that fight. We fight the fight of the good fight of faith, not our own strength. It is a fight of faith. But we've just looked at that. It's because God is putting that within us, both to will and to do, for his good pleasure. The problem is, you see, it's that unbelief. We're not, the faith isn't pure. We still have that unbelief. We still have that self-will. So God is working, but we're working against him. And one day we're going to get so tired, so fed up, so frustrated and broken-hearted that what I want never happens. all right, Lord, praise God. Over to you. Well, this has been. Just, you know. But praise God, isn't that love, isn't that mercy that he's working with us? And we're just going to be only too happy. Bow that knee. And we're just going to be walking along, borne along by his Spirit. Like those eagles on the thermals. Just majestic creatures, just enjoying the ride. Those wings spread out and the wind doing all the work for them. And, they've got the whole, they're the top of the food chain, aren't they? They've got the whole terrain below. Nothing bothers them. So it is with the sons of God. Borne along by the Spirit in the heavenlies. Seeing things from God's perspective. No enemy can touch us. That's not arrogance, because that's God within us. It's God doing that, not us. Praise the Lord. So, Exodus 23 in closing. Start with verse 20. Behold, I send an angel, the pre-incarnate Christ, before you. Now, this was before Joshua conquered the land, so God is preparing them through Moses. Before you, to keep you in the way and to bring you into the place which I have prepared. God is keeping us in this walk and he's bringing us into the place that he's prepared. God doing it. Beware of him and obey his voice. Do not provoke him. Do not grieve the Spirit. For he, now, here's an interesting expression. He will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. Yet we've just looked at his mercy. We've just looked at forgiveness. This word there, you see, the English doesn't help. But Hebrew speaks of rebellion. It's a rebellious heart that will not bow the knee, is what this speaks of. For my name is in. But if you indeed obey his voice, do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy to your enemies and an adversary to your adversaries. There we go. Victory in warfare. Victory in all that we experience, because it's God fighting for us. My angel will go before you, bring you in. The Amorites, Hittites, Perizzites, Canaanites, Hivites and Jebusites, I will cut them off. Now here's the warning. You shall not bow down to their gods nor serve them, nor do according to their works, but you shall utterly overthrow them, completely break down their sacred pillars, their images. So you shall serve the Lord your God. He will bless your bread and your water, and I will take sickness away from the midst of you. No one shall suffer miscarriage, nor be barren in your land. I will fulfill the number of your days. Divine health, divine prosperity, divine protection through obedience, through making no compromise with the enemy, with sin, or with idols. But God will do the fighting for us. Our enemies will be his enemies. And we're coming into that glorious experience, friends, to actually see God fighting for us. There's more. There isn't time tonight. I'll resume that next time. Praise God. There's so much more in this. The glorious mercy of our God. his hatred of that sin and idol in our life. And when we hate it like he hates it, we will experience deliverance. We will see that the devil was a liar. It's not us that God hates. It's him, it's the enemy. Do you see how his lies turn it around? And God in his love is purging us of those things because he wants to reveal his work of redemption in and through us. He wants to heal. It's not like we have to believe for healing. God wants to heal. We don't have to believe for holiness. God has already made us holy. He wants us to be pure. And he is working in that in our lives.
Yeah.
He has a vested interest in your success spiritually. And he will work it. Your ministry, he's going to use you mightily. He's going to use each one of us mightily. The widow's two mites, well, that's just temporary. We're coming into the greater works, friends, that latter rain anointing. But in the meantime, you're still being used mightily. Your very presence here, you praising the Lord with us, is part of what is building this assembly, part of what is building the body of Christ. Everything that you do unto him, led by the Spirit, of course, being fruitful in that, is essential for this assembly, for the body of Christ. And he has a vested interest, our God has a vested interest, that your ministry bears fruit for his glory.
Yes.
That it is a fruitful, a blessed thing, and you will reap an eternal reward for how you helped build up the body of Christ. Praise God. And so, in finishing, in order to accomplish that and not remove it, isn't he circumcising the heart and the tongue?
Yes.
So that those words of criticism, those horrible things, those resentments, those misunderstandings, those things are being cleansed, being purged. And so the body of Christ is building itself up in love, in forgiveness. Oh, we are going to be known as a people of God's mercy in this sick and dying world, ruled by fear and hatred. Here's the city set on a hill that cannot be hid. Here is the revelation of God's love and grace and mercy. But he's going to have to do a work, isn't he? And he is working. God bless you, brethren. Praise the Lord. Thank you for listening, for your attention, and I trust God will bless that to your heart, to your life, and that we'll be bearing the fruit of this in time to come. Praise God. If there's any questions, if you still have any questions remaining, prayers, then we're still here for that.